Father, thank you for today. Thank you that you have called us to be your church. And I pray that as we're gathered this morning to worship you, that you will help us to learn that we are your people, that you have gathered us for a reason, and that our worship is intended to be a time to strengthen us, a time where we work together and share together and participate together so that we can grow stronger, not just in our relationships with each other, but stronger in our relationship with you, so that we can be this holy temple that you have called us to be. Father, I pray as we go through these passages this morning and share these ideas that you will help us to have an open mind and help us to see the true mission that you have for your church. God, I know sometimes we limit what we think you can do or what we acknowledge that you can do, but this morning, Father, we ask that you would fill your church with your glory, that you would pull us away from the distractions and temptations in our lives and bring us closer to you. Help us to focus our lives around Jesus and the sacrificial way that he lived and to take on that way of living as an example for ourselves. Help us to be made stronger in you through our worship this morning, and we offer this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. When I was, you probably get sick of these stories, I always talk about what I observed growing up as a teenager especially. And so I hope that some of those folks don't listen to the sermons that we put out, because I'm not trying to be critical, but you know how it is sometimes when you hear things about what you were like and so on. But one of the things that I was taught early on growing up, and this probably goes back to before I was a high school student, but I remember going to classes and afterwards, might be on a Wednesday night, and the kids were just hanging around in the basement talking, and as an adult walks past to go up the stairs or something, one of us would just shout out, talking to each other, and we'd say, "See you at church on Sunday." Then this adult who wasn't part of the conversation would have to stop, turn around, look at us, and say, "Well, you all know that the church is not the building, right? You technically won't see someone at church because you are the church." And it was not always cool the way that they would interrupt a conversation to point that out, but the teaching was right. And we all know this, right? I mean, this is nothing new. The church in the New Testament is the people of God. The church in the New Testament is a word that corresponds to the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. As the nation of Israel in the Old Testament was called the people of God, so in the New Testament, the people of God are called the church. You may know this, that the Greek word for church literally and originally meant called out. So it symbolically tells us that God has called us out from one way of living to join his church to be a new way of living. But I wondered a lot growing up, because I was told the church is the people, but if you listened to the language that was used, even the adults wouldn't get it right. And I remember the same ones telling us kids, the church is the people, not the building. I'd hear them saying to each other, "See you next week at church," and so on. I remember hearing things about, even though we're acknowledging that the church is the people, and so therefore the people should be what's most important, I remember having the sense that what happened at the church building was more important than what happened anywhere else. And so even if the church was the people, we needed to combine the people with a building in order for anything official to happen. Let me give you an example. Growing up, all the meetings that the church had, Sunday morning Bible study, worship, Sunday evening Bible study, Wednesday night Bible study, the sense was given that those were required, officially sanctioned church meetings. Okay, well, meeting place, but see, what I'm saying is they were given to us as something official that we had to do. Now, you could have a Bible study at the church building on Wednesday night. That was official. That was a church meeting. But you could have a Bible study at your home on a Thursday night, and that wasn't a meeting. You know what we call those? Get-togethers. So that we do the same thing, but we give it a different terminology when it's at the building versus when we do it somewhere else. So even in that sense, we're still talking about the building as though we're referring to the building as the church, even though we all know that the church is the people. You see what I'm saying? But if we go back to the Bible, specifically to this passage in Ephesians now, we'll see that what I was taught and what we were taught actually was right. If we look at what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, he says, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." Look at how Paul describes God's vision of the church here. See, this vision that we read about up here is the one that was taught correctly, but not always the one that we observe, if you understand what I'm saying. But what Paul gives us is God's vision of the church. Not so much our vision as we talk about the church and as we try to describe it as a building or as a place to meet or whatever we do, but he's talking about God's vision of the church. And in God's vision of the church, God is building something. So Paul describes us in 19 and 20 as members of God's household, because God adds us to his family. This isn't our family. This isn't our group that we're building. This is God's household. God is adding us to his household. He's adding us to his family as he's building his church. He says that the church is being built upon the foundation that he builds it upon. The foundation, namely, is Jesus. Jesus is the cornerstone upon which God is building everything, which tells us that God is building us as he wants to. He builds us as individuals as he wants to, but he also builds us as the church in the way that he wants to. You see the difference there? We can focus on how we want to build the church, or we can focus on how God wants to build the church. God says, in his church, you are fellow citizens with God's people. And when he says that, he brings us back into the lineage of faith, of people of faith that he's been building since the very beginning. And he includes us in that, fellow citizens with God's people. These ways of identifying us are identifiers that we are the church, that we are the thing that God has worked to create. Not a building, not an institution, not the things that we can build and establish, but the thing that God himself is building. We are the church, not the building. So sometimes we mistake that and think that we're the building, or we think that what we're doing is more important than maybe even what the biblical vision is. And we look through Scripture and at what's going on and at our own experience in the church and what we're thinking about doing and what we'd like to do and what the church that we grew up had always done that was, of course, in our memory, always so successful. But that's not always the way that God wants us to proceed. God would rather give us the starting point, or give us his starting point, and that we would start from God's starting point and then work outward from there. That we would view ourselves not as a man-made institution, not as a collection of people that meets in a building with a name on it, but as fellow citizens with God's people, as members of God's household who are being built together the way God is building us together. But if this is God's vision for the church, what is God's purpose for the church? Paul also tells us that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 21 to 22, at the second half of that passage that we looked at, the purpose of the church is to be a holy temple in the Lord where God dwells by his Spirit. So we talked about this last week. We talked about from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, from Ephesians chapter 1, how God gives us the Spirit, his Spirit, and then lives within us. And that the temple of God is not the place that we gather to meet. It's not some tremendous image that we can look at from afar. It's not even the Old Testament temple, even though it used to be. But the temple of God, where God actually lives, is in us. God is building us as the church to be the place where he lives and where he resides. He infuses us to be what he wants us to be. And notice that in this passage, when Paul talks about being built, that the emphasis is on building. God is the one doing the building, and God is the one building the church the way God wants to build the church. Do you see that emphasis in those verses? Back in 21, 22, it says, in him, in God, the whole building is joined together. It's joined together in God. Not by the work we do, not by what's happening, but it's joined together in God. And rising together to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, and now in verse 22, he says, in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. If we are being built into that, then that's passive on our part, isn't it? Who is actively doing the building? Well, it's God. So you see the emphasis in this passage here that God is building the church the way God wants. So back to what the purpose of the church is. If God is building the church, and we're part of God's building project, if you will, then what is our role within that church? Can we sit back passively then and wait for God to finish building, and then we can say, well, I'll do what I want to do because God has built this and I'm just going to wait for God to finish building it? We've already got the answer. The answer is no. In God's church, God is the one being active to build. God is the one building his church the way he wants it, the way he wants it to be built. But he also calls us to actively participate along with him. Not to be passive people that sit back and stand back and wait for God to finish something, and only then when I feel like God has finished it will I get involved. Instead, God calls us to actively participate with him. We're called to grow in our faith. In fact, we might even say that not only are we called to grow in our faith, but we're expected to grow in our faith. We must participate together in growing in our faith, not passively sit by in isolation by ourselves waiting for God to do something beyond what he's already said he'll do. Which begs the question, if we are the temple of God, are others seeing the glory of God in that temple? If this church represents the temple of God, and if as individuals, when we go out into the world, we represent the temple of God where God lives, are others seeing the glory of God in us? Because we are the temple of God. Are others seeing the glory of God in this church? Or what are they seeing? See, if we are the temple of God, then God is building us to be his dwelling place. It reminds us that our focus in life is not to build ourselves, but to live for God. And to live for God in such a way that God's glory will be seen in and through us. But how often are we tempted to build great things for ourselves? How often are we tempted to build things that impress others? Whether it's an actual physical thing, like a house or a second property, because that's what everyone does at the level of career that we've reached, or a boat or a fancy car. Do we build physical things like that to impress others, or do we make the goal of our lives to work together with God to be built into the temple that God wants us to be so that his glory can be seen fully in and through us? If God is active in our lives, building us to be that temple, shouldn't we actively participate with him? Follow his leading, follow his building to grow, to be the temple, to be his container in the world that he wants us to be. It means taking an active role in our faith. So that we can say that church is about participation, not passivity. And let me clarify what I mean by church, because I don't mean church as in we might say I'm going to church on Sunday, and what we mean by that is I'm gathering with the church to worship God. That worship, that activity, that involvement is what church is, and it's that involvement, that very thing, that very aspect of church, which is about participation, not passivity, not sitting back, not being idle, not waiting with a good excuse to not do anything, but in actuality not doing anything. It means being active, participating. See, that's what was missed in what I was taught, as I referenced at the beginning about being a child and a teenager and always being corrected that, well, you know that the church is the people, not the building. And of course that was true at the time. But what was missing was there's a sense in which because the church is the people and because God is building the church, then the church needs to be active, participating, working with God to grow together. You see the difference in that? There's two aspects to participation. There's participating in your own spiritual growth, participating in what God is building in you, and then participating in the growth of the church as God is building his temple. And see, we've talked about this also a number of times. There's a clear movement in Scripture towards each of us taking responsibility to be grown, to be made into the likeness of Christ. That's an individual thing. But there's also the sense in which the church grows together. And even as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2 here, the church grows together. The church is being built together. In one sense, each of us are the temple of God that shows off God's glory, hopefully. But in another very real sense, the church is the temple of God, and God resides through his Spirit in the church. How are we helping the church? Because what that means is that church is part of who we are. It's not something we do. It's not something we add to our calendar. It's not something we add to our schedule. Because of what church is, it's part of who we are. It should be part of our lives. So I coined a phrase to describe the difference I'm trying to talk about. You can probably see it up there. It's called passivitation. I haven't trademarked it yet, but it's a new phrase. As you can see, a little bit of confusion about what that phrase means. When I said that phrase, this is kind of the response that I got. But passivitation is the idea that we can participate in something even though we're passive in it. Could you understand what I mean? It means you can be at a location, say a worship service. You can sit back passively. You can put marginal effort into it. You can hardly sing the songs, cooperate in the prayers, listen to the sermon, but be passive and so passive in it that you may feel like you're participating in what we're doing. I call that passivitation because it's actually not participating. It actually is being passive, but it fools us. Because we can come to the church service, we can come to the worship service and feel like we're putting a lot in, even though we may not. And I can't tell you if you're putting in or not, because that's going to be a question that you have to answer for yourself in your own heart as you ask about what's your level of involvement when you come here. Are you singing the songs to worship God, or are you singing the songs because that's just what we're doing right now? Are you sharing in the Lord's Supper because you have to check it off your list, or are you truly entering into a remembrance of Jesus? Are you listening to the sermon so that you can be entertained, or are you listening to see what God is saying to his church so that you can actually do something about it? We are not participating with God merely by showing up and consuming what's offered here. You understand what I'm saying? We have to find a way of actively participating in what we're doing. Actively participating in what's going on here, in what God is building. If God is building something in you and in me and in this church, then he's still doing it right now. And if we close that off, and because we say, well, I'm in worship and I got to do some things here, I'm going to check some things off, and then I'm going to go home, are we closing ourselves off from being built the way God is trying to build us? See, when we imply that simply fulfilling a set of obligations is the way to do things, then we will not be successful as a church. Because what being passive means, and what this sense of passivity means, is that we are actually not participating. Passivity and no participation are the same thing. If all we focus on a church is passively consuming things, sitting by and singing while someone else leads, or listening to teaching while someone else teaches, or taking the Lord's Supper only because someone passed it to me. You know, one of the worst things we might ever decide to do is make people come up front to get the Lord's Supper, because then we might have no one taking the Lord's Supper. You know, I'm joking when I say that, but see, that's what I'm getting at. It goes back to our attitude, to what we're willing to do. Are we here to take, or are we here to give? If all we focus on is this passive consuming, We might be growing spiritually as an individual, but we're not actively participating in the growth of the church. You understand what I'm saying? It's like we can be spiritual giants on an individual level in one sense, but be useless in the church. We could be an encyclopedia about the Bible, but if we don't do anything with that knowledge, then we are useless in the church. That's why I'm talking about completing a circle here. There's this aspect of individual growth and participating with God in our individual growth. Then there's this aspect of working together with God to complete that spiritual growth in the church. We have both roles to play. We have to work with God as He builds us as an individual temple. And then we have to work together with God as He builds us as His temple, the church, this one body. So this is why he talks about the temple in some places, but in other places, as we'll come to in a little bit in 1 Corinthians, he's talking about the body. And he talks about how you're individuals, but you're all part of one body. It's like I have, 10 fingers, but they're all part of one body. We have to work together. We need to encourage a participatory way of being the church, not a passive way. This is what Paul taught in 1 Corinthians. This is what the scripture reading was about. But he says at the end of that verse, all of these, and he's going back to the things that he was talking about before at the top of the verse that were read for us by Harry this morning, all of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. In this passage, Paul notes that the strengthening of the church is the primary goal when the church gathers. Sometimes when we talk about our worship, we talk about the need to glorify God, and of course that's obviously very important, but Paul also says don't neglect the fact that the church, the body, the temple should be strengthened when you come together. Church should be participatory. If Paul says the church needs to be strengthened as a result of being together, how are we going to strengthen it? Well, this is why he goes back to what he mentions in the entirety of verse 26. And he mentions these things, and let me turn over there now. But he says in chapter 14, verse 26, we've already had these read, so I'm just going to run down through them. He says, when you come together, so he's clearly talking about when the gathered church is gathered for worship. He says, when you come together, each of you has a hymn, a song, or a word of instruction, a revelation, which is more to do with a prophetic teaching than a vision, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. See, when Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, if we had more time, we'd go into this, but really 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14 are one unit. And Paul writes these chapters in the letter of 1 Corinthians because he's trying to correct some problems that they were experiencing in worship. The Corinthians, largely as a group, were selfish. They were focused on elevating themselves. They were focused on the gifts that some of them had, and this is why in chapter 12, and even in the first half of chapter 14, Paul's spending a lot of time talking about speaking in tongues and prophecy, and sometimes these things cause a lot of confusion in contemporary Christianity, but Paul's saying to the believers who were trying to tell other believers that the better gift was speaking in tongues, the most spiritual gift was speaking in tongues, and if you didn't have that gift, then you should try to attain it, and you should take a back seat in the meantime and let those of us who are more spiritual, because we have that gift, step up and do that. And Paul says that's not the way to be the church. This is why when Harry was reading, he said one of the headings in his Bible was orderly worship. Because Paul knew that when these people were gathering to worship, things were chaotic, because they were arguing among themselves. And he says, when people come in, see this kind of chaos, and when they come in, see parts of your service that don't make any sense, and they don't understand what's happening, and they don't know where things are going or why something's happening, and this guy sounds like he's talking gibberish, but we don't know what he's saying, but some look like they do. Paul says, no one's being strengthened. No one's being built up. This is why he says, when you come together, each one brings one of these things, so that it progresses orderly, in an orderly manner, and so that the church is strengthened and built up. He emphasized how they should work together, how they should participate together. Maybe you can see the connection between this passage and the one in Ephesians. In Ephesians, like I said, Paul was presenting God's vision of the church, that God was building the church together. God was building the church up to be the temple that he wanted to, and that was God's end of that. But now in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul's talking about the church's obligation to that. God is working to build, but how is the church going to cooperate together with that? Well, the church participates together. The church works together. So when the church gathers to worship, and I know that this sounds really foreign because we don't do it like this at all today. This is New Testament Christianity, what we're reading though in 1 Corinthians 14. When the church gathered, they gathered together and each one brought something to the meeting that was designed to build others up, that was designed to strengthen the church. One would bring a song, one would bring a teaching, one might bring a scripture reading, one would bring something else. Someone brought food, which was always popular, so that they could eat together afterwards. But they all worked together. No one was cast out on the side. It wasn't left up to professionals that were hired and paid to do things that no one else supposedly could. The church worked together. They incorporated God's vision of the church, that God was building up the temple, with a practical vision of what it means to be part of that church. So I think as we reflect on 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26, and the things that Paul is saying in this verse, the question emerging from this verse is, how are you participating in the church? Or are you just passivitating, to go back to the phrase that I coined? How are you participating? Church is about participation, not passivity. I know in our climate right now, today, for example, we can't do things exactly the way Paul was talking about doing them in here in 1 Corinthians 14. But that doesn't alleviate the need for us to find a way to participate more in the growth of this church. He gives us a principle to operate from. When he was teaching the Corinthians here, the principle that he brought out clearly applied to their worship and to their common participation together in that worship. But when we come together as the church, can we ask ourselves, how are we chipping in? It may not be during a worship service. It may be after a worship service. It may be on a Tuesday. It may be on a Thursday. It may be when you hear a need about something going on at church, or some program that's trying to be started at church, or some need that exists within the church. To participate, we'll stop and ask, can I help? And if so, how will I help? Not can I help and how can I, and then I'm going to sit back and wait for someone to call me. And if they call me, then I'll say, I guess I can do that, but sound put out on the phone a little bit. Instead, we'll look around us and say, how can I help? How is God building me as his temple? And as we look at that, we'll see the ways that God is building us as an individual, and we'll say, that is exactly the way that I can chip in to help the church grow. That's the way that I can participate in the growth of this church. We're not really growing. We're not really building our faith, and we're not building the church if we sit back and let others do all the work. We're not building a church God will be proud of for sure if we do that. I wonder sometimes if too many of us are takers. If too many of us are simply passive consumers, that we show up to see what's offered and we only show up if we know ahead of time what's going to be offered because we like what's offered. We show up, take value that's offered, but don't add any value back in. I wonder if we can rephrase Paul's principle in this way. If you receive value from your church experience, do you add value back in? Are you receiving value? That's a fair question to ask. Do you enjoy gathering as the church? Do you feel uplifted and refocused as a result of worshiping God? Do you enjoy the interaction that you receive from being with each other on Sunday? Or Sunday Bible study, whenever you come, whenever you get together? Are you receiving value? Are you taking value from that experience? If you are, let me simply ask you to find a way to add value back in. Now, I don't mean to suggest that people aren't adding value back in, but I'm saying each of us is going to have to stop and look at ourselves and ask ourselves that question. Am I taking value and am I adding value? I think that's what Paul's getting at. When he says in 1 Corinthians 14, 26, he's talking about each of you brings a hymn or a revelation or a teaching or a tongue or an interpretation. He's talking about using the gifts that God has given you to build others up. We're built up when others use their gifts to serve us, aren't we? Most of us are, most of the time. So let's turn that around. How can you use your gifts to serve others and to build up others? Only you can best figure out how you can add value to this church. Some of us can help you try to figure that out, and we'd love to talk with you about that and try to encourage you along and find out what gifts God may have given you and try to encourage you to serve God in an area like that that you're gifted in. If you want to find a way to add value, please come and talk to some of us so that we can help you do that. But above all, we need to find a way to add value. If we take it, we need to add it back in. And this is what Paul is getting at. As God builds his church, God is going to do what he needs to do to build his church. But he also calls us to be active in participating together with him. He can't build something where there's no supplies. You see what I mean? We need to be the supplies that God uses to build his church. We do that by participating not only in our own personal spiritual growth, but in the growth of this church. We do that by looking around, seeing what we can add based on what we're gifted in, and then adding that value back in. This is what it means to be the church. The church is not built by God to be a passive place where people do something on Sunday and then go home and forget about it for the rest of the week. The church is called to be an active place where the glory of God is seen in that temple, not only on Sundays, but every day of the week. Not only when the church gathers in a building to meet, but when the church is dispersed throughout the community in the different towns and villages and cities that we all live in the different counties that we all live in. The glory of God should be seen in the temples that God is building. May we be the supplies that God uses to build that temple for his greater glory and for the strengthening of his people. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this message, and I pray that you will help us to see that you call us to take an active role in our faith. Help us to see that we do not exist simply to please ourselves or to own a building or to have meetings for our own sake, but that those things work together along with you to create a church that can show your glory forward in this community. Father, may your agenda become our agenda. May your desires become our desires. May your will become our will. And may we do for you the things that you call us to do, so that not only will this church be strengthened as a result, but that more people will come to know your name through us. We thank you for Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.